An art therapy grant, car team success, and volleyball in the spring. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director, and thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. Tennessee Tech has landed a $600,000 CMS grant to bring art therapy to residents in nursing homes throughout the state. Tech will be playing an integral role in providing a program that benefits nursing home residents, family members, and care professionals, especially during this time of increased isolation. And to tell us more about the grant is Sheila Hurley, Associate Professor in Tech's Whitson-Hester School of Nursing. Sheila, I'm sure that there was a lot of celebrating going on when you were approved for the grant, a lot of hard work that went into it as well.
Yes, very exciting.
Well, just tell us a little bit about how the grant started. What was the idea behind it and what was the process that you had to go through?
Well, we had previously worked with CMS with a music and memory grant just in the Upper Cumberland area. So we decided to expand on that. And we wrote the Art Therapy for Life Tennessee grant to promote fine arts in nursing homes. And this program consists of art activities used with diverse populations that will focus on individuals living with Alzheimer's disease, cognitive, mental, and developmental or other impairments. And this is more than just arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. So we received over $665,000 for the project.
Wow. So how does somebody in nursing get involved with art for nursing homes?
Well, we're working with a company called Thriving for Life, and they are a nonprofit organization in Tennessee. They are working with a credentialed art therapist. So each nursing home, each 100 nursing home will be trained. We're training the staff, and we're providing supplies for up to 24 residents per nursing home.
Oh, wow. So I guess that's when you talk about the money, the over $600,000, it goes for the training and for the supplies as well.
Yes. And we hope to impact 1,000 to 2,000 nursing home residents across Tennessee.
And, just kind of diving into this a little bit more, what do you think the benefit is for teaching these folks art in the nursing homes?
One of our goals is to provide increased quality of life for the residents, especially during this time of isolation. So the arts have a unique ability to help individuals remain present and in touch with their personal identity and surroundings.
Oh, wow.
This is key in offsetting the impact of isolation and transition trauma, which can lead to delirium, hospitalization, or loss of self.
Hmm. Now, how long have you been at Tennessee Tech?
10 years.
10 years. And
yes.
Where were you at before then?
I worked at the hospital here at CRMC.
Okay. Well, what made you want to come to Tennessee Tech?
Well, I'm a graduate of the program. Mm-hmm. So 25 years ago. And it's just home.
Yeah. Now, is this the first grant that you've been involved with as far as something like this, or is it kind of something you do on a regular basis as you look for ways to write grants and just to help those that, you know, could benefit from it?
This has become more and more of what I do. So I really enjoy writing the grants. Mm-hmm. I enjoy bringing things to our community that we don't have, and grants are a good way to do that.
Yeah.
So I think I'm privileged to have the opportunity to write, and to Tennessee Tech helps with that. You know, we have departments that support us so that we can continue to write grants and bring different things to our community. One thing I do want to mention too is that Alliant Health or Alliant Quality has been supportive of our project.
Okay.
And they are an organization that seeks to improve quality and care across the region. So they're going to be working with us, helping us get into those nursing homes to provide this program.
Great. Now that's Art Therapy for Life, Tennessee. How long is this going to go for, and can you renew this grant?
The grant is not renewable, but the funding is an initiative made possible by Civil Monetary Penalty Fund, complements of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, in partnership with the Tennessee Department of Health and the state agency. So these funds come up all the time. So we can't renew the program, but we can write other grants to help improve the residents' quality of life. And it's great to be able to help nursing home residents and the elderly in our community and across Tennessee. So we want to make a bigger impact than just our local area.
Yeah, well, congratulations on securing the grant. Good luck with that, and I'm sure it will have a big impact throughout Tennessee.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sheila. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's off to the races with chemical engineering.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
And welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Tennessee Tech's newly resurrected chemical engineering car team won the Southern Region and is moving on to the Nationals. Here to tell us more about its great triumph is Manny Gumbin, a senior chemical engineering major who is the car team captain for the 2019-2020 season.
Yeah, well, buddy, thanks for having me here today. It's a real honor to just be here. So first of all, kind of give a little background on the team. This past academic year was just our second year actually as a revived team. Back in 2011 was actually the last time that a car team for the chemical engineering department was present on campus.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, big shout out to my mentor, Eric Apamas Jr., now a process engineer at Eastman Chemical. He revived the team the 2018-2019 school year when I was just a sophomore. Mm-hmm. And he mentored me, just gave me all the tips and advice to just bring this team back on campus. And with all those resources, we were able to build this chemical reaction car that, like you said, won us first place at the Southern Regional Competition for the Chemi car team. And this car is very special. First of all, the name of it, we named it after Eric himself. We called it the Terrific Talon. Eric, you know, kind of meshed in the word terrific. Yeah. And of course, you know, Talon, because, you know, Golden Eagles, wings up.
Right.
And so that was just a big plus for me just naming it. But to really get into the components of the car, so not to get too technical, but our car is powered by a lead ion battery.
Okay.
And exactly what that means is essentially, you know, chemistry happens within the battery itself, allowing it to put out some sort of electrical output, which actually moves the motor to our car, propelling the car forward. Now, you're probably wondering, well, all cars come with a brake, right? I mean, you got to be able to stop a car.
Right.
The beauty of this competition is the idea behind it is we need to create a car that will self-operate off a chemical reaction as well as stop itself with a chemical reaction.
Gotcha.
So the stopping mechanism, aka the braking mechanism for this specific car, is called an iodine clock. Now, essentially what it is you put two clear solutions together, and after a specific amount of time, it'll instantaneously turn black. This black color will then essentially is over some sort of sensor, and the sensor essentially kills all the power to the car due to a whole bunch of electronics and coding that myself is not an expertise in, but of course as captain, recruiting the people who really do know that.
Right.
And so to given a certain distance we need to travel for the car, we change the concentrations in our chemical reactions to make this car either react in 15, 30, 45 seconds. And so all these components for this car together made the Terrific Talon, and it's a very, very nice car to say the least, and I'm just ecstatic to the fact that we got first place overall.
So how many schools were involved in the competition?
Yeah, so in years past, the Southern Region, as we're a part of, is actually the biggest one encompassing the Chemi car competition for the American Institute of Chemical Engineers. Mm-hmm. Last year when we competed, there were 26 teams comprising of big name schools such as Clemson, University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Florida State, you name it. Even a school from Puerto Rico, Maya Guez was actually present last year.
Wow.
This year we competed against 8 other teams, okay. Notably some teams that I am fortunate enough to say that we were able to get ahead in the competition were Auburn, Florida State, and actually the team from Puerto Rico as well.
Okay,
and
great.
So 9 of us total competed this year in the virtual format that was presented to us.
And how many Tennessee Tech students are on the team?
So overall, this team has about 40 members currently in it. In our Discord and GroupMe, those students who are interested in it have joined and are active in it. Mm-hmm. When it came to the competition itself, we compete with only 5-person teams. At the competition itself, about 20 or so members who support CAR Team were present there that day, doing either helping us set up the venue, volunteered to help us measure the distance when our car was traveling, and just anything else we needed help with, and really run the competition as smooth as possible.
And where was the competition held?
It was held in the Oakley STEM Center this past Sunday. It's funny because we were told that we needed to be able to cover about a 15-meter to 30-meter distance. Fun fact, Oakley STEM Center, from about wall to wall, not counting the hallways that you'll see when you walk in, it's about 30 meters. So we were very lucky when the distance was only about 24 meters.
Yeah.
Definitely caught a break there, but regardless, we knew our car could travel whatever distance they gave us.
And so what exactly was the competition? How did the competition break down?
Yeah, so when it comes to actually competing, the competition starts by essentially all of us gather in the briefing room. In this case, it was Zoom. Mm-hmm. And we're given a certain distance we need to travel. As mentioned, we had to set up the dimensions of the room to be able to fit a 15-meter to about 30-meter track, 5 meters width. And in that time span, they gave us the distance we had to travel, in this case, 24 meters. Mm-hmm. So as soon as they announce it, we have an hour to basically prepare our car. During that time, my responsibility was essentially checking our chemical reactions for the stopping mechanism, while my co-captain, Ian Terrell, shout out to him, he was responsible for making sure that basically the rest of the car was running as smoothly as possible. He was the one who really put together this power mechanism, aka our battery, for this car. And so while that was charging and I was working with my team to make the stopping mechanism happen, after the hour of prep that all the teams gotten, we started, team after team started going in 5-minute increments. So as I mentioned before, there were 9 teams total, and each team had 5 minutes before and after each team to do their runs. And so when it came time for Tennessee Tech's 5-minute window, essentially, once you put your car on the track, your time starts. Mm-hmm. And essentially, as soon as you activate your car, every team has a different way of activating their car. Ours was essentially pushing this button. And once that button started, you had 2 minutes to travel the desired distance. Yes, yet again, we had to travel 24. So the car's rolling, it's rolling, it's rolling. The 2 minutes of anxiety, I cannot tell you. I was just anxiously waiting to kind of give a perspective of how fast our car was moving.
Right.
It moves about 4 meters. About 0.4 meters every second.
Okay.
And so, probably saying that wrong. I'm pretty sure if Ian's going to be listening to this, he's going to roast me for saying that wrong. But essentially, it was moving at a pretty decent velocity. And so, as it's rolling, you know, these 2 minutes, it gets about maybe 3/4 of the way down the track, and we get you have 30 seconds left until it has a stop. And we're about maybe 6 meters or so from the final distance. And for people who know me, I'm a very active, very vocal person. I'm just like, in my head, I have never been so quiet before. So the 24-meter mark, you know, for visualization for you, buddy, is about right here. The car's just rolling. It's rolling.
Right.
And I'm still trying to visualize it right now, but it stopped. And the wheel was just touching that 24-meter mark that we put down.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure if I screamed louder in my life. If any person that was evident that day could tell you that I was just roaring in happiness and emotion.
Yeah.
And so to get back to the whole gist of what your question was, when it came to measuring it, it was how close the front of your car, the foremost part of the car, was to that finish line. So if it went over a little bit, you measured from the back end of the finish line to the front of the car.
Okay.
24 meters, our car traveled 24.03 meters, only 300ths of a meter off from where it's supposed to be. If our car didn't tweak to, I think it was just the right, just a little bit,
yeah,
would have been perfect on. But it was just pure emotion, raw emotion just erupting from the crowd. It was funny because I'm pretty sure I had to like collect my emotions because like I had to go back to the judges' computer as they were watching it live. We had a mobile camera following the car, and they were like, all right, let's see the measurements happen. And it was... it was just phenomenal, to say the least. I just reliving that moment. And what's funny is no one actively recorded it, so there's no like recorded thing that happened. But the judges from the national car team competition saw it.
Yeah.
Our faculty advisors who were there saw it. 20 members of the team saw it. So even though we elected to record it, I just reminded everyone that at least you know what the emotion felt like, and you'll always hold on to that. And if you were there, definitely that was your moment to say, hey, I saw this because you took the time to come out and support us.
Well, now you've got a Southeastern region or Southern region championship. Now you're going to go for a national championship.
Correct.
When is that and where do you go for that?
Yeah, so you know, a little personal anecdote about myself. I turned 22 on November 15th, which is just so happens to be the same day as our national competition.
Happy birthday.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, hopefully a good birthday present that the car team could give to me is a national championship. But, you know, no expectations going to with a close mind.
No pressure.
But we're still in the works currently to figure out a venue. It will be virtually streamed again.
Okay.
However, the intention is to hold it in the multipurpose room right here in the UC.
Oh, really?
And mostly just because of the fact that we'll be able to run 30 meters comfortably if we have to run it. But also at the same time, you know, of course, unfortunately, we are in this pandemic. However, despite that, we want to get as many people there physically possible, socially distant, of course, to come watch it live, especially the Department of Chemical Engineering more specifically. And we'll be doing the trials there and just making it a half competition. But I think the team was like, Manny, we're going to celebrate your birthday too.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
It'd be exciting.
So how long have you been at Tennessee Tech?
This is my, I guess to really be specific, this is my seventh semester as a student at Tennessee Tech.
Okay.
So yeah, I've been here a good amount since 2017.
Close to graduating?
Yeah, I'm actually graduating in December of 2021, so
okay.
I still got a good amount of semesters to go, just finishing up my curriculum and, you know, trying to make memories along the way.
Yeah. When you got to Tennessee Tech, did you ever think you'd be the captain of the car team?
Honestly, I didn't really think much of myself. Part of me was like, I had no idea what I was getting myself into this major. But no, I would never imagine that I would be in this position I am right now, you know, being able to talk about the accomplishments of this team. And, you know, and like I said, like being captain is one thing, but one thing I really emphasize for the rest of the team is like, it's not just an individual effort, it's definitely a joint effort. And so, like, you know, really quickly, I just want to shout out to like the rest of my team, more specifically Ian Terrell, my co-captain. He is the current car team captain for the 2020-21 year. He's doing some great things right now for the car and helping me get ready for nationals. Keyshawn Patel, my right-hand man when it comes to the stopping mechanism. Nicholas Vaden, another power team member to help Ian make the battery. Russ Hoffman. Sorry, I can't remember if it's Rustin or Russ. Rustin, buddy, but computer science senior, man is a genius. He made all the electronics and stuff possible for the car to even move, how to like read each component to each other. Faculty advisor, Dr. Stephanie Jorgensen, and of course, our on-site safety judge for all the safety reasons we needed, Dr. Cynthia Rice in the Department of Chemical Engineering. And of course, the car team in general, just biggest shout out to them. Like I said, you can't do this project by yourself. It really takes a team, and I wish everyone was here with me, but you know, I know we're here in spirit, and hopefully just me saying your names and just getting our name out there is one thing for sure.
Sure. So what are some of the benefits that you get out of being a part of you know, the car team, and you know, is there something that you're learning that's going to be able to help you the rest of your time here at Tech, and maybe, you know, once you get out of school?
Oh, absolutely. Whenever Ian or myself is advertising car team, the biggest things we talk about is hands-on experience, leadership, and just networking. When it comes to hands-on experience, being any sort of engineering major, you're always told that if you want to try to find a full-time job, you got to have experience. But to get experience, to get that internship or co-op at whatever industry or company you want to, you got to do something on campus, whether that be research, leadership, just showing that you can work in the real world as an engineer. But not only that, leadership is definitely important. More than ever, I'm really trying to promote freshman, sophomore involvement as Ian is. Ian was my co-captain when he was just a sophomore, and now he's captain of this team, which is just truly incredible to see. And his two co-captains are just sophomores as well, just really trying to emphasize the whole idea of you're never too young to be a leader. It just makes sure that, A, having mentors such as myself and Ian to really set the guidelines of if you want to be an effective leader, if you want to be successful, we're going to help you through it. Of course, you have to find yourself along the way. And the biggest thing is networking. This team doesn't just consist of like older chemical engineering students freshmen and sophomores, like I said, are encouraged to come and are involved. In fact, half of our team is actually a lot of new sophomores and freshmen who just came in this year. Mm-hmm. And it's, I should have mentioned also that CAR team is not just limited to chemical engineering majors. Like I said, our electronics person is a computer science major. We're looking for mechanical engineers, chemistry majors, electrical engineers, mechanical engineers, you name it. Anyone who has an interest of A, being part of a Southern regional champion, but at the same time, just trying to find another way to get experience in the field,
right.
CAR team is definitely the way to go. Yes, we are new. Yes, we have a lot of growing to do. However, definitely after this past weekend, there's a lot of accreditation that you can definitely give to us. And I guarantee you, if you come, we'll give you something to work on. We'll give you a story to tell in those interviews when it comes time for those full-time offers, co-ops, or internships. CAR team has definitely been one of my biggest talking points when it comes to trying to land a job. And it has been very successful to me, to say the least. So if you're hearing this, any engineering, STEM majors, heck, we'll take anyone. If you're even outside of the realm of the whole STEM, we'll take you too. We'll find a job for you, give you a job, and we're more than happy to just network in general because you're never too young to learn something new.
And if somebody is interested in CAR team, is there a website? Is there some place they can go and find out information, or what would they need to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, of course, being a new team, we're still working out a lot of the logistics. However, the biggest piece I can give to those listening who want to come out and join the CAR team in Prescott, our office is Prescott 214. If you go in through the side doors of near the park, Sherlock Park,
yeah.
Go inside the left door. There will be three very, very respectful and very helpful ladies who will help you get into contact with who you need to. However, I'm just going to kind of put my email out there. My email is eggumban42@tntech.edu. And Ian Terrell, the current captain, his email is ibterrell, T-E-R-R-E-L-L, ibterrell42@tntech.edu. Please feel free to email either one of us, but also at the same time, if you can physically visit the office, they'll direct you wherever we need to go. And hey, you might run into one of us, and we'll talk your ear off about CAR team to get you to join the team.
Talking with the enthusiastic Manny Gumban, who is the team captain for the Tennessee Tech CAR team, is a senior chemical engineering major. Manny, anything else you want to add? Again, congratulations on winning the Southern Regional, advancing to Nationals. Anything else you want to throw in there?
You know, last thing I just want to say is thank you, buddy, for giving us the opportunity to speak about CAR team. You know, like I said, just being a two-year team in the making, we're very proud of what we accomplished. Like I said, if you're really interested in joining us, contact either one of us, see the office. But yeah, Nationals is happening November 15th. Hopefully we can get more logistics ironed out if you want to come see it live. But wish us luck, and you know, everyone stay safe, stay healthy, and wings up.
All right, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
And up next, we'll be talking volleyball. Stay with us.
When the world is moving this fast, boldness is rewarded. At Tennessee Tech, we help you find your bold. We'll help you turn it into a career-ready education. That's Tennessee Tech. Bold futures begin here. tntech.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. I'm Buddy Pearson. Spring volleyball schedule has been released by the Ohio Valley Conference. After taking the fall off because of COVID-19, the Golden Eagles face a 16-match slate beginning in February. And with us is someone who is very excited to get volleyball season going, and that is head coach Jeanette Waldo. Well, coach, it must be music to your ears to know that you're going to get to play some volleyball this year. It's going to look a little different, but hey, some volleyball is better than no volleyball.
Our thoughts exactly.
Well, just talk a little bit about your enthusiasm about, you know, getting ready to play in the spring. I mean, I'm sure this has got to be a little different than what you're used to.
Yeah, I mean, we knew it was going to be different. You know, we've told the players from day one that it was going to be different. But like you said, any volleyball is good volleyball at this point. They're just like, you know, tell us where and when to show up and we'll be there. So they're really itchy for competition for sure. I mean, we're lucky enough that it was kind of fun having this prep time right now, because normally in the spring you'd be, you know, you wouldn't have your incoming freshmen yet. You wouldn't have your seniors. And so you kind of have smaller numbers. You have kind of a teaser of what could be in the fall after that. So it was really fun being able to train everybody that you're going to play with in the spring. And that's just not something that we normally get to do. And so, you know, really being able to tell okay, so what could lineups look like? Okay, so what do we need to work on with this person? And how can we get our new players comfortable and ready to compete against another team? You know, like all of that is been kind of nice. So we hope that that pays off, and we hope that, you know, they feel more prepared going into matches in the spring. They have definitely had a lot more opportunity to grow as collegiate volleyball players all together as a team in this time. So, I mean, I just hope that, you know, it reflects that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talk a little bit about being comfortable. This is your third season here at Tennessee Tech. How comfortable are you as you enter your third season?
I mean, we've got a great group. I mean, we have a lot of talent. We have a lot of depth. I mean, I think the hardest part for us is going to be making decisions on who's really out there, which is a great place to be in. But, you know, like we always talk through lineups and stuff, even though you're just hypothetical situations. Like, you know, we looked at our previous schedule and we're like, all right, so we're playing so-and-so this weekend. All right, so who's out there who would start right now? And we're going down the list and we're like, yeah, but that means so-and-so is on the bench. How do we do that? You know, so,
yeah.
So we've got a lot of good problems. And so I mean, I don't know if you're ever comfortable because we're always growing, you know? So once we feel comfortable, then we know that we need to be doing more. And so, but we're excited and we're in a good place for sure.
I know looking at the roster, you've got a relatively young team. I just see one senior on there. So
yes.
Seems like you've got, you know, a very bright future, but just not a lot of experience as far as older players, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of returners, and we have one senior that, you know, who knows, she might be a super, super senior by all the time all this is said and done. She's, you know, threatening to stick around until, you know, we absolutely give her the boot. But yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of incoming talent and younger talent that is more ready to play than what we've had in the past at their age. You know, and part of that is because of this fall, and this prep time. Part of it was they were playing at a high level when we recruited them. And so the gap wasn't quite as big, you know, for them when they came in. And they also knew us as a coaching staff from day one. And, you know, they knew what they were walking into a little bit more than the group that we inherited. You know, that was a growing process just because, okay, well, who are you and how do you want to do it? And this is different. And, you know, there were some kind of growing pains that come along with a new staff. And, you know, it's felt so much easier and we've been able to move through things faster just because this is what they signed on for.
Sure.
You know, this staff doing it in this way and all of that. So,
you know, in the past, you've always front-loaded your schedule with a lot of tournaments to kind of get your team tournament ready and a lot of away matches and that kind of thing. But playing a 16-match schedule basically against league competition, do you prepare differently for that? Do you have a different mindset going into the season?
I mean, this fall we've been competing a ton against each other because we knew we had to. One, because they hadn't played volleyball in a while. And so we knew, as opposed to breaking down a lot of things and spending a lot of time going really slow, we needed to do some of that for sure because there was some teaching that needed to happen, but we knew we needed to compete so they would just be ready to compete and really crave that because they're going to have to be ready to compete immediately for when it counts. You know, like you said, I think before we've had this buffer of, okay, we can play with some lineups, you know, I mean, yes, it goes into the wins and losses category, but, you know, our conference and our conference tournament is what really, really matters to us. And so those were a way for us to play with some things. So we've been playing with those things now. And then we'll have to play with them very quickly when we get into practices. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be go time right from the beginning. So there's not going to be any, you know, you get a piece of candy and you get a piece of candy and you get a piece of candy. I mean, it's going to be, all right, this is our starting group.
Right.
These are the ones that put in the work and put in the time. And this is what we're going to win with. And we got to go with it, you know.
What's it been like coaching through the pandemic? I mean, this is nothing that anybody is used to, but I mean, I'm sure it's crazy to be able to have to do this. It just changes the complexion of your job.
Oh, for sure. And I imagine down the road, there will be lots of stories that we'll smile about at some point, I'm sure. But I think the thing is that we haven't been coaching as much.
Mm-hmm.
We've been forced into a lot of different hats. And I think some of them have really helped me grow personally as to be more of a well-rounded coach, you know, because I've focused more on the off-court side of the relationship building and communication and things like that. I mean, I always did that, but I thought that I did it more until that's all we had for a little while. And then I realized that I need to be doing more of that. And I need to be following up with our players more on a personal level and things. So, I mean, it was very eye-opening to me about learning more about what's going on between their ears off of the court. Mm-hmm. When volleyball doesn't exist,
yeah.
You know, I mean, because I know what those conversations are when volleyball's in the mix, and I talk to them, how you doing, all this stuff. And then they're like, yeah, life is good. Da, da, da. And then it always comes back to volleyball, you know, and when there wasn't volleyball there, and when they walk into conversations and they're like, hey, my name is so-and-so, I'm a volleyball player. So that's how they identify themselves. And so when that was taken away, it was a little bit of an identity crisis for them.
Sure.
At first.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all right, so how do we give you other things that you can build worth on and that you can be passionate about? So, you know, we talked about starting new hobbies and things like that through being quarantined, and we gave them assignments of things to think about that had nothing to do with volleyball. Mm-hmm. You know, just articles to read, videos to watch, you know, what's your input, what's your feedback. And so it allowed us a lot of time to do some things that you always kind of want to do, but you can't really seem to fit in because it falls lower on the priority list when you're talking about wins and losses.
Sure.
You know, so it's been a good thing because it's forced us to be more creative and forced us out of our comfort zone. But obviously it took us away from, you know, exactly those things. It took us out of our comfort zone. It took us away from preparing in the way that we wanted to and competing and all of that. So it's been very strange, but I do think a lot of good things have come out of it too.
Right. Well, speaking of wins and losses, what are your expectations for this season?
We have very high expectations because what we talked about as a team early on, you know, because we didn't know what was going to happen with fall. We talked about that in the summer, even that there are some teams out there that are not going to do the right things when no one's looking, and they're not going to be prepared because they're not going to have the drive until they get in their gyms with their coaches. And then it's going to be like, they're going to flip the switch on.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to separate ourselves by doing all of the things that we know we should be doing. We're doing home workouts. We're touching the volleyball away from court time with coaches, you know, trying to build each other up, learning about one another, like all of that stuff that you need to be doing in preseason, but doing it much earlier and more consistently. So our players were very bought in over the summer that we wanted to be separated from the pack because we're going to do it all of the time, you know? And so they started that mindset very, very early because they have very high expectations for conference play.
Mm-hmm.
So they've kept that going. Now that we're in the gym, obviously we can help them as coaches and we can drive them, you know, more directly, but they're going to carry that over into this crazy long winter break that we're about to have. And so, I mean, the mentality is in the right place. You know, as long as we follow through with what our intentions are,
mm-hmm.
we'll be in a good spot and we should be able to separate ourselves from other teams that aren't prepared to do that extra work on their own.
So you haven't had the normal OVC media day, that kind of thing. So there probably hasn't been any kind of preseason pick. If you were going to pick a team that, you know, you think is going to be pretty good in the OVC, who would you pick?
I mean, I'm putting my money on Tennessee Tech, personally.
Yeah, okay.
But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I guess,
there you go.
If you're not wanting a.
Oh, no, I like that. Yeah.
no, but see, when we do those polls, we can't vote for ourselves.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And that's why, because there's people like me out there that would be like, well, yeah. So, no, I mean, I think that, you know, there's some teams that have been in the top that always seem to find themselves up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they just run a good shop, you know? And so I think that, I think Jacksonville will be up there. I think Moorhead will be up there. I think SEMO will be up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are the ones that, you know, kind of have targets on their back a little more directly, probably.
Right.
But I mean, who knows? This league is crazy, you know? I mean, and this season is crazy. So it's just, it's about whoever peaks at the right time, you know, and whoever's, like I said, who's ready out of the gate and who has to take a while to figure it out.
Right.
I mean, you don't have that warm up, and nobody in our conference does, thankfully, I guess. And so then it's just on us. So I think timing is going to be a big factor more than probably the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, and then who else, who is able to play? I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with all of this COVID stuff and quarantines and things like that. So, I mean, it could alter lineups week to week with any team potentially out there. I mean, you hope that that's not the case because you want to go up against, you know, every team in their entirety, but you know, you just don't know.
Well, the countdown to February is on when you have your first match, and I'm sure you're excited about getting to that point when you can actually get on the court and play some matches. I'm sure the team is too. And I think everybody's ready just for some normalcy and to get back to, you know, seeing some sports and coming out and supporting the volleyball team.
For sure. And, I mean, it's okay. We can play anytime because it's an indoor sport. So,
yeah.
You know, people should be excited about that. Rain or shine, we'll be playing, and it should be a good product out there and good competition.
All right, Jeanette Waldo, the head coach of the Tennessee Tech volleyball team, thanks for being with us, and good luck this spring.
Thank you so much.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.